Hey guys, a few weeks ago I asked you to go to iTunes and rate and review Sideshow, and a few of you did, and air high fives, they're coming out. But if the rest of you did it, it'd be even better for Sideshow, so please, please, please tell our iTunes overlords how much you appreciate the podcast. It'll really help. Thanks. Oh, and this one's dedicated to Paul Walker.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramisferum.
All right, let's get to work.
The Furious 7 trailer is one of the most joyous things I've ever seen on the internet.
Somebody just walk me through what we're supposed to be doing.
What they're doing is parachuting out of a plane in their cars. Cars parachuting out of planes is what they're doing.
Justin, you didn't think it could get any better, huh?
Here we go.
It's amazing. Once Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Ludacris, and Tyrese safely hit the road, they immediately enter into this high-speed chase with a tank of a bus that has machine guns built into it.
Oh,
get low when the whistle goes.
There's fist fighting, half-naked women, an actual cliffhanger, car porn galore, The Rock, and Kurt Russell.
It or not, you and your friends are a part of it now.
I don't have friends. I got family.
The trailer's been watched well over 50 million times. It's better than a lot of movies I've seen. It might even be better than Furious 7. But Furious 7 will be one of the biggest movies of the year. The Fast and the Furious movies keep getting more popular. To date, they've made about $2.5 billion. It's the most successful franchise in the entire history of Universal Pictures. Teenage boys alone can't bring in that kind of money. One of the most surprising things about these movies is that even though they could have been written by a screenplay generator, even though they stereotype minorities, objectify women, and encourage all sorts of reckless behavior, really smart and critical people love them.
Fast Five was fucking great. I'm sorry. Facts are facts.
The feminist, novelist, and professor of the English language, Roxane Gay, is one of them. And she likes them for an entire different set of reasons than the teenage boys do.
Fast cars, hot women, ludicrous action. I mean, there we go.
Okay, so she likes them for the same reasons too. But Roxane wrote an essay for The Toast about how these dumb-sounding action movies are actually sort of progressive and brilliant. Before we get to that, she's going to try and summarize the first six movies without laughing.
The Fast and the Furious.
An ambitious undercover police officer infiltrates Car Street gang and falls in love with both racing and the gang leader's sister.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
This is a real movie. Our action takes us to Miami, where our no longer cop takes up with an old friend from juvie. Again, they join a gang of car thieves.
The Fast
to do drug smuggling.
The Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift.
A bad boy from the United States is sent to live with his father in Japan, and there he finds the underground street racing culture.
Fast and Furious.
The gang is all together again. Things go awry, and Dom decides for everyone's safety to go on his own, and Letty, his love, his life, has been murdered.
Fast Five.
The entire gang, back together again, is on the run in Brazil, where they decide to steal money from a criminal underlord, and mayhem ensues.
Fast and Furious Six.
This time, the gang is all together again in London, where they've found Letty, who is in fact alive and not dead, and mayhem ensues.
What's important to note here is that the series wasn't always an international James Bond heist action franchise with cars parachuting out of planes. The first movie was this Point Break ripoff about street racing based on an article that ran in Vibe in 1998.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Nothing else matters, not the mortgage, not the store, not my team and all their bullshit. For those 10 seconds or less, I'm free.
Oh, I saw the first movie in the theater on opening day. Oh, yeah. Mm.
And did you realize then that you might be witnessing the opening salvo of one of the most profitable movie franchises in the history of film?
You know, I didn't. I didn't realize it until 4. But I love bad movies, and so I just kept going. I was just like, well, I'm a masochist. I'll take it. And the first movie, I just didn't know what to expect, but it was so great. And, all the car sounds of gears shifting, and I know nothing about cars. And so it was all hilarious to me, like NOS. And I was like, you can really do that? Anyway.
NOS is like nitrous oxide, which is like the fire they put in their fuel tanks to,
yes,
like,
to make them fly.
To do Batmobile-style speed, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
The sequel is widely regarded as just awful. Did you not hate it?
I appreciated the sequel for what it was. It was a mess. Clearly, with 1, 2, and 3, they were just like, oh, well, let's just throw something at the wall and see what sticks.
Uh-huh.
And then with 4, they realized they have something. And so they started to think in terms of franchise instead of individual movies. You could tell that everyone had signed on for multiple films, and so there was continuity. And so it does start to feel episodic. Like, the movies are connected, 4, 5, and 6, and clearly 7. They work together. That's what's amazing. They keep getting better. Normally, a franchise gets worse and worse and more diluted.
Yeah.
And what they were able to do is turn the ship around. And that's why I very much mourn the loss of Paul Walker, because he was just so perfect as Brian O'Connor. But I do hope that they continue with the franchise, simply because once in a while, I just like to go to the movies and enjoy the spectacle. And these movies allow that.
I wonder, you're a respected writer of intelligent things. When you tell your friends that you love these movies, do they look at you like you're a 5-year-old who, like, has no sense?
A little bit. I mean, not really. Only because they know that I like all kinds of nonsense. And so this is not the most egregious of the things that I like. and I'm also just not ashamed. I think that these are quality movies. I'm not, like, watching them ironically. I love the Fast and Furious franchise. It's so well done. I mean, it doesn't try to be more than what it is. It's a car racing movie.
Well, like, increasingly less so, though, right?
Well, now we're getting into drama and crime. But Robin Hood, like, type crime, which is the way it's always been, even from the first movie. Dom and his gang of merry thieves like to rob from the rich to give to themselves.
Totally.
And they just don't care. It's just so great. They're just like, reality? Psh, whatever. I love it. Mm.
There's so much they seem to not care about.
Really?
From reality to continuity.
Mm-hmm. And cars that never run out of gas.
Sure.
I love it. It's so,
like,
cool.
Even when characters are poor and they're, running out of money and they don't have any options left, they still have, like, beautiful cars.
Absolutely.
And look perfectly sculpted. And anytime someone's not in a really intense situation, they're drinking a Corona. Just like Vin Diesel wakes up, rolls out of bed, and is drinking a Corona.
Absolutely. Corona is the street racer's drink of choice.
Apparently. In this new movie, Kurt Russell plays this FBI agent who tries to get Vin Diesel into Belgian ale, but he's not having it. There's this working class theme that runs through all the movies, and that, of course, plays into the Robin Hood aspect that you mentioned as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play a clip from the last installment, Fast and Furious 6. This is when The Rock and Ludacris' characters go to a car auction in London.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen help entrance is towards the back.
Come again?
I don't mean any offense, gentlemen, but you couldn't possibly afford the cars in this auction. Substantial lack of gaudy jewelry, no entourage, no honeys. Clearly, you're not a baller. And you? Shoes, shirt, trousers. Functional. And your posture, too rigid, no swagger. My guess is military take-home of 50,000 a year. That's US, which is not enough to be playing here. So if you're not kitchen help, then you must be in the wrong place. But please, do finish your champagne.
Yeah, there's definitely some working class hero narratives that are working throughout the movies, and I think that's awesome, and it works really, really well. And the rich, the extra rich, are always caricatured and easy to hate, which is also pleasant. I mean, this movie gives us everything that we want. Damn the man. And it's not like boring rich. They're all like criminal rich, which just makes it awesome. Like, yeah, he doesn't deserve his money. He's a drug dealer, but we're thieves, and so we're better. Yes, you are.
Another virtue of this series is the racial harmony between Black, Latino, white, and Asian characters, right? It's just accepted that in this culture, everyone gets along. Even though in 2, the stereotypes hoisted at Tyrese's character are insane, I think. Like, and Paul Walker walks in like the white savior who will like pull him back out of his destitution, you know?
Well, he is the white savior. No, I think that in 2 we do see some racial stereotypes. And quite frankly, throughout the movies, Tyrese's character is asked to be stereotypical in some strange ways. But I also think that his character would have been the same even if he was played by a white actor. I think it's more the character.
They needed that type.
They just needed that type. This is not a subtle franchise. And so one of the things that I do like about it in all seriousness is the diversity of casting. They really did colorblind casting. Actually, white people are the minority on this show.
Yeah.
And always. And I think that's excellent because it just offers something different, especially in action movies. To see brown people doing awesome, exciting things. And so they're not perfect about it all the time, but this franchise is heads and tails above what everyone else is doing in terms of diverse casting. And also having an Asian director for many of the films.
Sure, is Justin Lin, yeah.
Incredibly, incredibly important. We never get to see people of color directing movies, let alone action movies. It's fantastic.
Something undeniably less fantastic in this series is the objectification of women, which is so rampant that it is funny.
You know, there are two things that this movie does with gender, and they're very contradictory. On the one hand, women are set pieces, and they wear very revealing clothing, and they drape themselves over cars, and they're tan, and they're taut, and they're shiny, and they have big boobs, and you know, long hair, and it's just like, wow, it's a spectacle. But on the other hand, we have the characters who are part of the primary cast who are ass-kicking and who are never asked to sort of have to objectify themselves to be part of the movie. And so because of that contradiction, I'm always intrigued. Like Michelle Rodriguez's character, Letty, is badass. Even in the one sex scene we see of her in the franchise in the first movie, she and Vin Diesel are like, they're equals and they're just sort of clawing at each other. Mia is a love interest, but she also drives cars and is a badass. And in the subsequent movies, more women are introduced and they're always intelligent, fierce women. And so for me, I'm able to tolerate the it feels so harmless. You never see women being disrespected in these movies. And so, yes, they're objectified, but they're not disrespected. And so that's why, for me, it's easy for me to enjoy the movies.
I want to play one more clip. This one is also from Fast and Furious 6. It's when Michelle Rodriguez's character meets this Brazilian cop character for the first time. They're both exes and sort of current lovers of Vin Diesel's character, who's basically playing God in these movies.
Helena?
Letty.
That's got to be awkward. But sexy as hell.
I wanted to thank you for everything you've done for him. For us. Takes an amazing woman.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, he is.
Try to keep him out of trouble, though.
Now you know that's not gonna happen.
I know.
Sips Corona.
Poetry.
I'm totally with you. I love these movies. I pay money to see them. I think women are badasses in them. But that is, like, the most egregious failing of the Bechdel test, like, imaginable.
Seriously,
right?
All they talk about is, he's a great guy. Oh, we worship our raw.
They're, like, looking at him and just, like, drooling and being like, oh, goddamn, like, you were so lucky to have him. It's like, oh, goddamn, you're even more luckier to have him now. Like,
yes, but let's be honest. I would drool on Vin Diesel, too. I'm sorry, but that dude is sexy. He says, like, 4 words, he always sounds meaty. I mean, just sometimes a girl just gotta appreciate. I'm a bad feminist.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow, but thank you even more for rating and reviewing Sideshow on iTunes. You're the best. Thanks to Krista Ripple, who told me about Roxane Gay's essay in The Toast and came in on a Sunday to help me engineer it. Thanks to Kayla Hoke, Sideshow intern. Thanks to Lital Molad, Studio 360 boss. Thanks to Kathy Merritt, PRI boss. Thanks to my brother Nimesh for keeping me up on all the Fast and Furious news. And thanks to Andy Mills for being the voice of God again. Sideshow's tweeting 24/7 at Sideshow, and I'm tweeting the rest of the time at Ramisferum.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Oh, and you know what? The other thing that was fascinating about Fast Five is Mia gets pregnant, but in Fast Furious 6, the baby's ugly. Which you don't expect.
It's like the one character that isn't totally beautiful. And
I know. It's so great. I was just like, what? Because sometimes two beautiful people will make an unattractive child. And so it's just great that they were so committed to authenticity.